ask you this question. I mean, you started with the personal branding point of view thing pretty darn early in the main scheme of things. If I remember correctly from reading your bio on the UW website, it was like 2004?
Yep. And it started actually introducing the concepts into the courses I teach in 2001, 2002. Actually started offering the first digital personal branding class in 2008. So 2008 was when I offered the first class in that.
Wow, because personal branding now is really on a lot of people's radar, I think for the first time. I mean, good marketers have always thought in terms of branding, and smart people have always kind of maybe not used the word brand, but they understood they had to present themselves in a, I'm not ashamed of myself way, but in a, this is what I have to offer, this is who I am, this is how I approach life, and this is what makes me different than other human beings.
100%. And that's what people are looking for now. Is they're looking for what makes you different. And it doesn't have to be something that is manufactured, you know, wearing an orange suit coat wherever you go, or pink shoes or whatever it is. There's a tribe of people who, when they find out who you are and what you stand for, will connect with you more deeply if you know who you are and what you stand for than anything else. And one of the things that I'm a big believer in is that we don't take the time in our businesses or in our personal entrepreneurial journeys to try to discover who we are and what we stand for. We just kind of go with the flow. And we need to understand that. Once we understand that, work becomes a lot more fun. It becomes a lot easier to connect with the right audience and help them out. It becomes a lot easier to tell your story and what you're about because you've taken the time to do that. And that's just something that typically isn't encouraged. So I like that people think about personal branding, but I'm still on a big mission to try to help people understand it's about being real. It's not about manufacturing something that you're not to try to get people to think something that you're not.
Well, you know that I'm all over the idea of nonfiction branding. I mean, it really says everything that it's about, which is just like a nonfiction book is based on facts. There may be some interpretation of those facts, but it's factually based stuff. Whereas fiction can literally be pulled out of somebody's orifice, you pick which, and some of them smell just as bad as from whence they came. Wow, that's a really pungent metaphor, but I'm sticking with it. But you know exactly what I'm talking about, because I was in an earlier episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I talked about, or maybe it was a Facebook Live I did, I was trying to figure out where exactly, when did that nonfiction branding idea occur to me? And I think it was when I got a really bad creative brief from an incredibly lazy account director or account manager at an ad agency I worked at. And it basically said something like, do an ad for this company, this product, this service, whatever it was. The size of the print ad is, and write some stuff. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to write? And, you know, typically there's at least a call to action, a CTA to say it's 2-for-1 subs this week only, or buy one, get one free, or, you know, whatever the come in, come on is.
Yes.
But even that was not on the creative brief.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, I think I said to him, I am a nonfiction writer. I don't make stuff up. I mean, I will embellish. I will take whatever you give me and make it as good as I possibly can. But I got to build it off a foundation of something.
Yes.
And that's what you're kind of implying personal branding's about, is that you have a foundation within you. Maybe you haven't identified what that foundation is.
100%. And I think that's the challenge, is that people try to be like other people. And it's natural. You know, you see somebody who's doing well, you see somebody who's doing big things, and you're like, well, if I do what they do, you see it in sports, you see it in book writing, you see it in speaking, and it's encouraged because we think, well, that's the formula for success. And the formula for success, really, especially when it comes to personal branding, for me, one of the articles I require my clients and students to read, it's called 1000 True Fans. And it's a free article online by Kevin Kelly, who is the founding editor of Wired Magazine. And his whole premise is that we need to focus on small audience. Small audience is what's important. And a true fan essentially is somebody who falls in love with what you're doing so much that if you were a band and you were playing within 5 hours of where they lived, they're getting in the car and going. You drop a new CD, they're buying it, talking about it on social. A new t-shirt, they're wearing it and taking pictures. The only way to get those true fans is to be yourself, because people, especially in this day and age, can read through the crap and the inauthenticity. Now, the cool thing from a business perspective is what Kelly talks about in that article is you take those 1,000 true fans and you get them to spend $100 with you a year on product, service, promotion, whatever it is. You now have $100,000 in gross revenue, which is a great starting point for a lot of entrepreneurs. So the key is that you don't even need huge volume from those people, but you need to be real enough that those people connect and click with you. One of the reasons you and I connect is nonfiction branding, nonfiction storytelling, being real. The other reason we connect is we both love labs. We both love dogs. And those are things that those are little signals to other people that help you know, help them know what you stand for and help people connect with you. And that's when people say, well, somebody posted what, you know, about their favorite sports team or their lunch. I don't really care about that. Well, really, actually we do, because it's the little social signals that give us an indication of whether we want to connect. So as an example, I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, love the Wisconsin Badgers. If I see somebody in LA and I'm in LA and I see them wearing a Wisconsin t-shirt, what am I going to do?
You're going to go talk to them and talk about the Badgers and what, when did you go? And
exactly,
you know,
it's a little social signal. So whether it's a vegetarian meal or a picture of your dog, we don't connect off. And this is the way the human mind works. We connect off these small little interactions, these small little signals that let people know who we are and what we stand for and how to approach one another and all of those things. Now, if we see somebody in Madison, Wisconsin wearing a Wisconsin Badger t-shirt, we're not going to say anything because they're already in the community. So it might not mean as much, but some of the signals as we're building that community out just are those little indications. And I've actually made a lot of friends because business friends, because I posted that I'm a Badger fan and they'll say, oh, I can't stand the Badgers. And then we tease each other back and forth and we realize we both enjoy sports and it's a place for us to talk about certain things, but we have a lot in common. And so again, it gave me little things like that all the way up to big things, but really letting people know who you are is the foundation. And that's all with being real and true. And nonfiction, I think, is the perfect way of putting it, because it gets sort of the BS. It's about being real.
Well, hey, nonfiction branders, as you can tell, I'm having a really fun conversation already with Don Stanley. He's an instructor at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. And Don, can you give our listeners a few seconds on who you are, what you do, and how you do it?
Yeah. So basically, during graduate school, I got lucky. It was when the web was first started coming out, and I got to start doing some consulting. And that's my consulting business, which is 3 Rhino Media. And the department that I now teach in just so happens to really like application instruction. So they said, yeah, we got a couple of things coming up in this digital thing. We're not sure exactly what it's going to become, but would you be interested in teaching some application classes since you have outside experience where you can help our students to learn how to apply these? So that's been about 20 years. And so basically, I've kind of evolved and grown my business as well as my teaching from really the start of digital in the late 90s, where it really started to show that it was going to be something that provided a value that never existed before. So one of the things that I try to do as being a continual student, a continual learner, listening to podcasts like this, where you can continue to build your mind and understand what's going on. Then I'm also a pattern seeker, which means as I've seen the web evolve, what are the common threads that have not changed? What are the things that have never wavered despite the changes to the Facebook algorithm or the fact that we can now live stream on all these different platforms or whatever you want to pick? What are those cornerstones that have held true? And that's where one of them is a huge one is being real, being who you are and standing for the people that you stand for, or the products or services, the communities that you serve. So it's fun. It's a fun mix.
Oh, man, you are speaking my language, because I have been so passionately derisive to people who think social media is doing anything different. Mm-hmm. It's not. The key commands are different. The optimization of the MP3 file may be different. But it's the same thing that has been going on since Og and Mog were around the campfire and Og is telling Mog about the mastodon hunt. Yeah. I love to use that as an example because it just really distills everything back down. And one of my favorite images ever put to film was in the movie The Right Stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a scene where one of the astronauts is in space and they knew they were going to lose radio contact through a period of time, but they didn't know how long because mm-hmm. the ionosphere, blah, 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 all this stuff. And there's this scene where Dennis Quaid plays Gordon Cooper, I think, one of the Mercury astronauts, mm-hmm. and he was tasked with being at an Australian dish station where they could get radio coverage. Because back then, the only way to get radio coverage as the modules going around the Earth is to have people at discrete stations positioned around the globe. Mm-hmm. So there's Dennis Quaid as Gordon Cooper, and they lose radio contact. And I think he comes out and he's looking at the night sky. And there are some Aborigines that have a fire up against this rock wall. Mm. And they're playing the didgeridoo, and the sparks from the fire are going up, and the fire is casting shadow against the wall. And it's just this really spiritual, esoteric scene. That's exactly what social media is. Absolutely. It's telling a story to a group of people who are coming together. Yep. About whatever the topic might be. And this is where people on social media who are like, well, you know, I work in some boring subspecialty of something that people don't want to talk about. I'm like, yeah, they have conferences for that.
Yep.
And if there are people who are going to pay to go to a conference about that boring subspecialty thing, they're looking for experts in that boring subspecialty thing. Yep. So why isn't that expert you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why aren't you the one that they're inviting to the conference to speak?
Absolutely.
And why aren't you the one who's providing them an opportunity to say, you know what? You're really smart. I bet you have something to say about our boring subspecialty that may not be boring to the experts within it. So why don't you come share that with us? Yeah. Isn't that a foundation?
Absolutely. And that's the, you know, and I love that because I often start out one of my presentations with the cave paintings in France. And what that is that's what we call asynchronous storytelling. It was telling a story without somebody having to be there. That's social. Really, all it does is it allows us to scale in a way that we've never been able to do before. But the tenets of how humans connect with one another is exactly like you said. I mean, and especially when we connect on a deep level, it is kind of this spiritual type, you know, whatever term you want to use. There's a deep connection that we look for. We're a tribal animal that needs one another to survive. And so we can maybe in a future episode, deep dive into some of the neuroscience geekery that I get into. But the whole idea is that we need to form bonds with people that we feel like we can trust in some way in order to feel safe in the world. And that includes at work. So you go to some of these conferences and you see people talking, you know, you see them outside of the conference talking about their topic and somebody's falling asleep listening to them. You see them go to the conference where that boring, weird thing or whatever you want to call it is being talked about. And the two people light up because they both love to talk about it. That's really what good communication and good social is about, is sending out those signals so that you can connect with those people. And whether you want to become a thought leader, you just want to become part of a community and a contributor, whatever it is that you want, you can make those connections. And as you pointed out, I can think of tons of super weird niche fields where really active small social groups exist. And there's a lot of business generated around those weird niche topics. So, you know, the idea is that virtually almost any field you can find value if you understand personal branding, if you understand nonfiction communication, and if you understand how to connect with one another.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, and the funny thing is, if you get niche enough, they'll give you a Nobel Prize. I mean, literally today, just today, a Canadian professor and I think two others who had been involved with lasers, but not just lasers at a very five people in the world understand what we're doing level at the time it came out, mm-hmm. just received the Nobel Prize for physics, applied use of lasers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I read the article, and I'm sorry I don't remember the Canadian woman professor's name, but she said that when she was working on it with her mentor and the professor she learned from, who also shared the Nobel Prize with her and one other person, they knew it was a big deal when they happened on this sub specialty of lasers, because, as she said, he knew it was a big idea. And he convinced me it was. Why do we use lasers on our eyes, mm-hmm. our most sensitive sensory organ on our body? Why is it safe to do that? Because she and two other people came up with the laser technology that enables it to be safe to use on your eyes. Wow. So who was it? Oh, Pat Flynn.
Yeah.
Loves to say there's riches in the niches.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's exactly right. And you kind of referred to it earlier about the 1,000 true fans. I mean, I'm sure there are people who are listening. No. As actually, I know there's nobody listening to this podcast who's grossing six figures a year. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing.
They can sponsor the show, right?
Well, exactly. If you are, please sponsor the show. Just think about this, listeners. If someone came to you and said, I can give you a check for $100,000 a year, and you only have to worry about 1,000 people on the face of the earth.
Yep. Yeah.
Would you say, no, I'm not interested in that? Of course not. Mm-hmm. Especially, I love the formulation, which is social media is all about big numbers.
Yes.
What if it's not?
Yep.
Think about that. I'm all for fewer, better.
Absolutely.
I hate to say it, my social media numbers reflect it. I'm very selective with the people who choose to engage with me because I don't care about numbers.
Yeah.
I don't want to be able to tout, I just passed 50,000 followers on fill in the blank. I don't care.
Yep.
But if I get one person who is like a hero to me, who mm-hmm. follows me, like Chris Ducker.
Yep.
Chris Ducker, an incredible awesome. Brit who's now global,
yes.
truly global in the personal branding space and everything else. He joined, and this is how social media works. This is what blows my mind. Okay. So Chris Ducker, mm-hmm. now you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Big global guy, especially in the personal branding space. His whole youpreneur yes. idea and his book, The Rise of the Youpreneur, is a fantastic resource that I would recommend to anybody who's got even a little bit of interest in personal branding, because it really is a comprehensive overview of everything with a lot of rich, applicable detail as well. I referred to him in a post on Nonfiction Brandversity, our free Facebook group, mm-hmm. and I tagged him in it because what? Good social media says absolutely use their at tag, their at, in my case, at DP Knutton. If you want to get my attention, if you put that in a post, I will see it and respond to it.
Yes.
I put in at Chris Ducker, not thinking anything of it. I mean, he's global.
Yes, he's
and huge. And I'm very local. I'm hyper local. But that's okay. You know, I wanted to give him a little bit of love, saying that I really love what you're doing and I mention you.
Yep.
That's all I said. I mentioned this, check out his book. A day later, 24 hours later, I'm just checking on Facebook and Chris Ducker asked to join Nonfiction Brandversity. I'm like, okay, is this one of his bots? Not bots, but one of his people?
Yes, yes.
And so I kind of tested that by saying, hey, so welcome, Chris Ducker, so great, blah, 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 blah. And then I kind of at the very end, dot, 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 maybe we can do a mini masterclass with him one day, dot, dot, dot. 5 minutes later, boom. Hey, my head's down getting ready for the Youpreneur Summit in London. I can't talk to you, but let's talk in December.
Oh, cool. Is
that, I mean, yeah. come on. Yep. This guy, I don't know him, but I appreciate him. I showed him love. And guess what? He's engaging with me because of it.
Yep.
And that's what social media can do for you. Before we close out this episode, I want to talk about one of the concepts you referred to earlier. And that is that you don't have to be a global superstar. You have to be a relevant superstar to what could be a very small population. You don't have to worry about everybody on social media. You need to collect the ones who get what you do, find what you do relevant, and who you can actually serve and share with Absolutely. In a meaningful way. That to me is like incredibly freeing. I don't have to chase numbers. I have to chase people, individual. I can species fish instead of casting a wide net I put out that one musky lure that I may have to throw that lure out 20,000 times, but when I get that big musky, I have a trophy.
Yep. And absolutely.
That seems to me really what you're talking about, which is be relevant to your right people, not just people in general.
And no question about it. And that's the key is what I think of one of the challenges, and I think this is part of an upper Midwest upbringing, is you're not taught to try to put the light on yourself, right?
Oh my God.
You're taught to always shine it away. So the number one excuse I hear for people not wanting to do things that might build their quote unquote brand is they don't want to feel self-centered and they don't want to feel. And I say, okay, stop where you are. Imagine you are where you are right now, but now imagine the person you were 2 years ago. Imagine 2 years ago, somebody with 2 years more experience where you are now being willing to help you out as you're just learning a topic or whatever. Now you've got that 2 years of experience. Do you think it is kind to share that experience, or do you think it's selfish to keep it to yourself? To me, it's selfish. So it's not about, hey, look at me, look at my numbers. It's about, I want to help people out because I've been helped. I'm a huge believer in the pay it forward mindset. And for me, that's really what it comes down to, is if I know that some business owner can feel like their business is growing and having a bigger impact, this gets a little bit, you know, kumbaya for me, but it's what drives me. And I know that he or she goes home to their family and feels less stressed because the business is growing and they're serving the right people and they're getting better revenue and everything is better at work because they're doing their messaging and marketing better. That's so cool that that's why I love doing this. So you know, that's what I try to help people keep in mind, is it's not about building your brand to put the light on you and say you're the greatest. It's about being a beacon to people who are behind you to say, hey, I can help. And like what you pointed out with Chris Ducker, you've now opened up his brand, even though he's this big global profile, to people in this community who would have never heard of him before. So you can provide service to people who are quote unquote in front of you as well. And that's, people like Ducker recognize that and appreciate that. So it's really that, when you think of it that way, it's really, really an opportunity to serve, and that makes it cool. And then you can have a living off of it. It's pretty sweet.
Well, and I want to close out this episode just by giving you a little bit of behind the scenes. And that is, as I look across the table at Don, I'm going to guess that if you cut off both our legs and counted the rings, that we would be well north of
25.
Yeah, well north of that. Well, put it this way. I would say that we're both in the cohort of people who might call Google the Google, or just uniformly state, I don't do social media.
Absolutely.
I totally get that, because it can be overwhelming. And that's why I'm such a proponent of the idea of fewer, better. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be everywhere. Pick your channel or channels. It could be just LinkedIn if you're a business person.
Absolutely.
And do it well. Now, the question is, what is doing it well on LinkedIn? Well, this is the podcast to listen to, because we're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more. And I will just leave you with this Brother Ducker, really brilliant saying that goes back to what you were saying, which is, don't compare your first step with my 100th.
Amen.
The main thing for anybody listening to this is start building your personal brand today. And realize the power tool that can help you do it is called social media. It's not about doing social media first. It's about building your personal brand based on who you are, what you do, and how you do it. That, to me, is the essence of nonfiction branding. Nonfiction Brandversity's Latin motto is Meshio Meessa. I know I am that. Mm-hmm. Or I like to change it to know who you are so you can be it. That's the essence of nonfiction branding and what this podcast is all about. Thanks so much, Don, for coming on this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's awesome.
Well, and the thing everybody should know, too, is that Don's going to be a frequent guest on the podcast. And in fact, we're going to wrap up this episode. I'm going to hit stop on the record, take a second, and we're going right into episode number 2. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, check out Nonfiction Brandversity, our free Facebook group. All you have to do is search Nonfiction Brandversity, ask to join, and you're in guaranteed. I'm DP Knuten, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.